This week in my Bible reading, I am concluding, or I did conclude, the book of Exodus and started in Leviticus. And toward the end of Exodus, chapter 33 is a great chapter. Let's check your Bible knowledge here. Anybody know what happens in Exodus chapter 33? Moses has a great desire. And he comes to the Lord, and what did he say?
He wanted to see the Lord.
There you go. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Moses wanted to see God. And you remember what the Lord told him? He said, Moses, I want you to know who I am. I'm going to reveal myself to you, but you cannot look on me or you will die. So I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to put my hand over you so you cannot see me, and I will not remove it till I am gone by. And you only see the hinder parts of the glory of God. And as he was up there on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, he came back with the second Ten Commandments. And as he came to the crowd, they noticed something very interesting about Moses. His face shone with the glory of God. And as you know, he had to cover his face. And as he would go into the tabernacle of meeting, tent of meeting with the Lord, he would uncover it, he'd fellowship with the Lord. But his time with God caused him to reflect who God was. And a little bit of the glory of God was upon him. So when they saw him, they saw God. Now we're in the New Covenant now, in the New Testament. But I want you to remember why God put you here. And that is that you would glorify God. That you would give a proper reflection of God. Steve, when you're out working and you're trying to sell real estate or wash buildings at 10 o'clock at night in the freezing cold, people ought to be saying, he looks like the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the Lord in him. And as you go to the grocery store, ladies, or your workplace, or whatever you're doing when you're out shopping. Isn't that exciting? And you're going out looking for those bargains, you know. And you want that deal, and she wants it too, and you're going to... No, that never happens. Wherever you go, ladies, they ought to say, boy, she looks like the Lord Jesus Christ. Ron Hamilton wrote a great psalm that the choir sings periodically, sang it in the last cantata. And here's the message. I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. So we're studying the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with that? Well, just about everything. So this morning, let me review real quickly. And then I want you to see what the Holy Spirit, at least start to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. We looked, number one, at the person of the Holy Spirit. We saw his nature. We saw his names. We looked at the presence of the Holy Spirit. Three different relationships we have with the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, what's the first relationship you get with the Holy Spirit of God?
Indwelling.
You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. How many times that happened? How long does it last? Do you have to pray for it? When does it happen? When you get saved. So you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. God moves in. Then we talk about the baptism of the Spirit. When does that happen? At salvation. Okay? That was kind of iffy. When you get saved. How often do you have to get baptized by the Spirit? Once. How long does it last? What's the purpose of it? Put you in the body of Christ, give you spiritual gifts, place you in the body of Christ. Then last week we talked about the third one, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. How often does that happen? Needs to happen all the time, over and over and over again, because naturally we want to control our life. This is the one that is an imperative. It is commanded. You must be filled. Never commanded to be indwelt or to be baptized. You are baptized with the Spirit. You are commanded to be not drunk with wine, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. God wants to give you victory over your flesh. And by the way, the results of being filling is not some kind of crazy weird thing. Okay? What happens when a person is filled with the Spirit of God? They're controlled by the Spirit of God, so what happens? What does it produce? Fruit of the Spirit. What did we talk about last week in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6? First thing we said, if you get filled with the Spirit, you will be what kind of a person? Thankful. I heard it over here. Good. Thankful person. And what else? You will have a song in your heart. All right. And then husbands will. Amen. Notice all the ladies said that. Good. Okay. And the men, excuse me, husbands will. And the women will. Go ahead, men. Chickens. Bunch of chickens. Not one of you men submit to their husband. You are so sad. I tell you what. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, every relationship in your life will be right. Children, parents, fathers, to sons, to daughters, they'll all be right. Do you have a relationship that's out of whack? What's the problem? Someone's not filled with the Spirit of God, and you say, yeah, they are not. Right? Filled with the Spirit of God. So, number three, here's the new stuff. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, and I kind of jumped the gun in the introduction. Why did God give you the Holy Spirit of God? Now, again, we're going to back up. What is the purpose of man? Why did God put you here? Okay, Mrs. Anderson, did you teach the catechism when you were, okay? To glorify God, and there's a little more to that, and to enjoy him forever. Now, I guess it depends which catechism you're looking at. I think that's the shorter catechism. Why did God put you here? To glorify him, to give a proper view of God to the world, to reflect him so they would see Jesus in you. That's why you're here. Okay? So, how does he do that? Well, how did Moses glorify God? Well, he spent time with him. He reflected him. He looked at him. Simple matter of fact is, can mankind see God? No. Let me ask that question again, because some of you are looking like, can people see God? Wow, that was overwhelming. No. So how are they going to see God? Well, we're going to talk about some different ways, but right here and now, they see God through you. We are to be glorifying God. But notice, I'll read Romans 8:29 for you. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, listen, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's saying, Christ is the first one like this, and there's supposed to be a bunch more that come after him that are like him. Now, the reason for that is because there should be a family resemblance. I told you a couple weeks ago that my sisters and brothers, I have two sisters, two brothers, and they used to give me a hard time because I look differently than the rest of them do. And so, and it, mainly my older brothers, you know, you're not even in our family. You're adopted. You know what I mean? Because I didn't look like them. Well, you know, you can look at some families and they don't look at all alike. Now, Sharon, I saw that picture of you two daughters. And Lee, I don't know if you like it or not, but you look a lot like your sister. I mean, I could tell they're in the same family, okay? Now, in a family, if you look alike, that's okay. If you don't, that's okay. But I want you to know, in God's family, guess what? We all ought to look alike. There ought to be a family resemblance. Now, Mark, I know Mark's thinking. He said, man, I don't want to look like you. But we do. We have a similar haircut. You know, Mark and I do. We look. But you know what? Here's the deal. Mark is supposed to look like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so am I. We ought to have a good family likeness. And the fact that the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And the simple matter of fact is, if you're a believer and I'm a believer, we ought to look alike. We ought to look alike. Spiritually, we ought to look alike. We ought to have a family resemblance. Now, you're in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and this is a wonderful verse. And if actually, I'm in the wrong, there it is. Notice what it says. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Did I say the wrong, did I tell you the wrong thing? Well, just let the Spirit lead you. I mean, we're studying the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, okay? All right, we're all on the same page now? Is everybody happy? Good, all right. Here we go. But we all, okay, he was obviously a Southerner, okay, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now, we're going to talk more about this in a moment, but what's he talking about? What's the glass? A mirror, okay, what's the spiritual mirror? Some of you this morning, I can tell, some of you looked in a mirror. Some of you, and you look at the mirror for what purpose? So you can see yourself, so you can try to fix it, okay? Do all you can to fix it. Now he says, look, there is a spiritual mirror that we look in, and that's the Word of God. And if you look in the mirror, what do you see? What do you see? Well, it says, the glory of the Lord. We look in the Word of God, and we see the glory. We see who God is. And then notice what happens. We are changed into the same image. What does this mean, same image? What image is he talking about? What's the image? The same image. It's in the verse. What's the image? What does the verse say the image is? There you go. Thank you, Mr. Rush. You are hot today, buddy. I like that. Said the verse, and now he's, yeah, I know it. That's good. Well, what's the image? We see the glory of God in the Word of God. And then it said, look what happens. You are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, most of you have been here a long time. You've heard this over and over again. It's not written to me. Jim Berg said it first, or he got it from somewhere else. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make you like the Son of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make you like the Son of God. That's the reason that he gave you the Spirit of God, to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You got that? Why did God give you the Holy Spirit? We're just going to start over. That's right, Liam. He got it. If he can get it, you ought to get it too. Why did he give it? So that we'd become like this, like the Son of God. And the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. Now, how does he do it? How does he do it? Now, I'm going to give you five things in the next several weeks. Here's the first one today, and this is all I'm going to cover today. If I'm going to be like God, if I'm going to properly reflect who God is, what's the first thing that has to happen? Let me illustrate it for you. If I wanted to be like playing basketball, if I wanted to be like Steph Curry, first thing I have to do is buy a mouthpiece so I can chew on it all the time. It's amazing that boy's not sick all the time. He's always playing with that crazy mouthpiece. But you'd study the way he shoots the three and how he releases and the wrist and the follow through. And I would study him, and I'd study him, and I'd watch his moves, and I'd say, boy, I can, you know, and we get, you study and study so you can be like him. So if I'm be like God, what's the first thing I've got to know? I've got to know what he's like. Got to know what he's like. How do I know what God is like? How has God revealed himself to us? Okay? Right? Let me start even earlier. Okay, the first point, for those taking notes, by the way, how he does it, number one, revelation. Revelation. How does God reveal himself? Well, we started with the second one. I want to start with the first one. Not illumination, not the incarnation, Creation. Not even, there you go. Where did God first reveal himself? Creation. Now, when you open the book of Genesis, what do you find out about the state of being? It was void, shapeless, and without form, no order, emptiness. Let me ask you a question. Does that give a proper view of God? Would you describe God void, emptiness, no order, right? Okay. I feel like I've lost some of you like 10 minutes ago. It's just this blank stare, okay? No. And so in verse 2, what happened? Now, you say, Gary, wait a minute. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, all right? Remember what happened in verse 2? And the Spirit of God moved. And that word is kind of like hovered over. The Spirit of God began to move, and some amazing things happened in creation. So when you turn, and you don't need to turn there right now. In fact, you can. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 19. And we'll be back to that in a little bit. Psalm 19. Does anybody know before you get there what verse 1 says? There you go. Good, Stephen. The heavens declare the glory of God. That wasn't true in the beginning. Until the Holy Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, hovered over the face of the waters, and changed, and creation took place. And suddenly, as we see in Psalm 29, or 19, verse 1, it says, "Now the heavens declare the glory of the God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So the first place that God reveals himself is in creation. Now let me ask you this. What do you know about God from creation? Three persons, okay? Because he said we, okay? He spoke it into existence. Does that kind of mean God has a little bit of power? You think? What else? What's that? It's good. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, and very good. What does that say about God? Okay, what else?
He ordered it and helped it all together.
He ordered it. God's a God of order. By the way, in the New Testament, there's a verse about that, isn't it? God is not the author of
confusion.
God is a God of order. What else about do you know about God from looking at the world? Now, Bob and Karen, you guys have been everywhere. You've seen everything. What when you were out in Fiji down there doing scuba diving, what did you see in creation? It was amazing. It was beautiful. God is a God of beauty, and he loves beauty, and he loves order. We can learn all those things from creation. In fact, it is so interesting. I kind of jumped the gun. Hold your place in Psalm 19. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Now, this is amazing to me. Romans chapter 1. In verse 7. Verse 19. I'm sorry. If I could read my notes, I'd really have something. Romans 1:19. Just trying to keep you awake. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him, that's God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What does that mean to you? It means God revealed himself in creation, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What happened? He said, look, you can know enough about God through creation that if you reject Jesus Christ, you will be condemned. You are guilty before God. Isn't that amazing? Now, does creation tell you how to be saved? No. See, obviously you need more, but what he's saying is if you will look at God in creation, God reveals himself so much through creation that it will cause man to seek him. And if you seek him, God gives you more light. But what did they do? They rejected it. They made gods like the stuff, right? But the whole point is, folks, God reveals himself so much in creation that men are accountable for their rejection of God just in the knowledge you have of creation. Does that make sense to you? Are you with me? Are you against me? Okay. So, number one, God revealed himself through creation. Number two, and this is the one you all mentioned, not only through creation, but what's the second one? Through inspiration. They all end with I-O-N in case you're wondering, okay? Through inspiration. Now, you're in Psalm 19 at this point, and it starts out, God declares himself in the creation, but look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All of those are describing what? They're all describing what?
Bible.
The Bible. And he's saying, look, the Bible is perfect. It is sure. It is right. It is pure. It is clean. It is true. And it will convert you. It will make you wise. It will lead to a joyful life. It will enlighten the eyes. It will endure forever. And it can be totally be trusted. Look, God reveals himself in creation, but he also realized we needed more than that. And so God reveals himself, obviously, through the Word of God. I love the song, "The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation." Why? For the Bible stands. And God has given us his word. You say, wait a minute. I thought you were talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, we saw the Holy Spirit in creation as he moved on the waters. What about the Word of God? Now, this is pretty simple, pretty basic if you know the Bible at all. Listen to 2 Peter 1:21. "For holy men of God spake," and listen to the word, "as they were moved." Now, it's the same English word as in Genesis chapter 1, 2. Obviously, one's Greek, one's Hebrew. But the Spirit moved on the holy men of God, and they spake, and they wrote it down. And so we get to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and we see that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It came through the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Word of God for what purpose? So we could do what? Primarily, so we can know God. You say, "Gary, I really want to know God." Now, what do we typically do? We go buy a book about God. Or we go to a seminar on God. Folks, I can save you a lot of money. I really can. Now, I know those things can be helpful. But If you neglect this, you're never going to know God. This is where you get to know God. Every day in your reading, you find out something else about God. God reveals himself in creation. Secondly, through inspiration. Oh, let me give you the third one. Not only that, you say, "You know, Gary, I would be like God if I could just see someone who lived like God." Doesn't that make sense? I mean, if I was studying Steph Curry, I could go. Anybody like sports in here? Okay, Stephen does. I'm all right. Foster. Okay. I could go to Stephen. I could say, "Hey, tell me about Steph Curry." And he would say, "Who?" No.
That's what she said.
There you go. Plays basketball for the Golden State Warriors. He's a great three-point shooter. Yeah. Chooses mouthpiece all the time, which is the most important part. Okay. I could go and I could say, "Hey, Stephen, tell me about him." But wouldn't it be better if I could get on an airplane and go out to California? Well, maybe not. Well, anyway. And go to a practice and actually stand there and watch him do it. I mean, see it right there. Now, we're supposed to be like God. Wouldn't it be great if there would be somebody we could just look at their life and study their life, and they're so much like God that we would say, oh, so that's what I'm supposed to do. Oh, that's how I'm supposed to react. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to say. Wouldn't that be great? There is. Who is it? Yeah. You can move to the front of the class right up here. In fact, you can teach if you like. Okay, yeah. Who is it? Come on. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. God in flesh. You say, I don't get it. Oh, let me help you here. In John 14, we've got time. Let's turn there. That's the nice thing about a series. You just stop when the time is over and you pick up next week. So if we don't get as far as I wanted, we'll be okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And verse 14. He said, I don't understand what you're saying. All right, well, look here. John 14, 6. You got it? I got 5 minutes. We got to hurry. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. What was Jesus saying? Okay, we can't see God. We can't see God the Father. But he said, look, if you know me, who do you know? You know the Father. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So Philip is like us. He said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be enough. Lord, it'll suffice us. It'll be good. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And you say, wait a minute, Gary. Wait a minute. I thought you were talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the incarnation. We're talking about Jesus. What's this about the Holy Spirit? I want to remind you of Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, that's Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest, does this sound familiar, shall overshadow thee. How was Christ born? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. He was born through the Holy Spirit. Listen, by the way, doesn't that sound like, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of... Sure, same thing, same thing. Listen to how, and I can't explain this. I can't explain the Trinity, but this is amazing. Listen, how the Spirit of God enabled the Son of God in his ministry. It's amazing to think about. It started at the baptism in Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit of God descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. What happened? Spirit of God. And by the way, I think there may be a word hovered. See, he's getting baptized. Spirit of God come down like a dove. Sound like the same thing? In his temptation, Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted. In Luke 4:14, in his labor, he said he came in the power of the Spirit. In his death, in Hebrews 9:14, it says, through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot to God. Through the Spirit, he was enabled to die for us. And the resurrection in Romans 1:4, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit or by the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of God working in the Lord Jesus Christ to help him to be what he ought to be. Now, I know you say, well, he's God. I know. Okay. It's called faith, okay? But the Spirit of God, through creation, through the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, through inspiration, he's revealing himself. And I've got 3 minutes. I'm going to get one more. Finally. Okay? You with me so far? Number one, he revealed himself through creation. Secondly, inspiration. Thirdly, incarnation. Fourth, before you get saved, the Bible says you are spiritually dead. We have no spiritual understanding. Even after you get saved, the Bible calls us spiritual children. We need something else. Any ideas? Illumination, very good. King Sports Schools would be proud. Illumination, that's exactly right. And listen to these verses. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, that's the Spirit. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it has been taught you, ye shall abide in him. And 1 John 2:20, ye have an unction, same word in the Greek as anointing, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Listen to this one, 1 Corinthians 2:8-9. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How can you possibly understand the deep things of God? Spirit of God. I remember when I was in school. I can still remember that. It's getting harder and harder, but I can still remember it. And you sit down with a math book or a science book, and you'd be studying, and you just it just didn't make sense. Wouldn't it have been great, you know, if you go to the front and, you know, and you find the publisher and the guy who wrote the thing and say, hey, sir, I don't understand. Could you explain to me? Wouldn't it be great just, he said, I'll be right over. And the author of the book comes over and he sits down by, he says, okay, let me explain to you what I meant by that. Wouldn't that have been great? You know what, as a Christian, you've got? That's exactly what you've got. You read the Word of God and you say, boy, Lord, and what happens? The author, the Spirit of God who indwells you, he's sitting there right with you. And he said, oh, let me explain that to you. And the Spirit of God illumines the inspired Word of God. And God is revealed to us. And as he reveals to us himself through creation, inspiration, incarnation, and illumination, we get to know God. Now, that's a great start, isn't it? But just because I know God, I know who he is, doesn't mean that I'm like him. I can know Steph Curry backwards and forwards. I can know his Social Security number. I can know how much money he's got. I can know his wife's name. I don't know if they have any children or not. But I can know everything about him. But that wouldn't make me like him. Something would have to change. And you can know all about God. You can read his word. But something else has to happen. You want to know what it is? Dave, come back next week and we'll cover that. Okay? Good. All right. Lord, we do thank you for how you're revealing yourself to us in all of these ways. And God, I pray that even this week that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, that we can pursue becoming like Christ. Oh God, help us to fulfill what you called us to do, to glorify you, to be in your image, that people would see Jesus in us. Oh God, touch us, use us this week, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.